first of all, let's call a spade a spade. These types of legislation are all designed to try to erode away reproductive freedom. And let me first give you some personal context. The pregnancy that my wife went through was extremely difficult. She spent 3 months on a hospital bed, on strict bed rest. She had gone into labor twice before that, way too early, before the point of viability. We had gone through unexplained infertility for years, where they couldn't, there was no reason that we should not be conceiving, but we weren't. And we were married when we were 30, we were ready to have kids right away, it just wasn't happening. And it was a source of great pain and suffering for us. So then we went through in vitro more than once. We were pretty much broke at that point, and the last time was going to be the last time, and then we were going to adopt. Well, all of a sudden, we're told that we're expecting triplets. So it was great fear, and it was great joy. She then goes through, she goes into labor at 19 weeks, and we were terrified, and we went rushed to the hospital, and they managed to stop it miraculously with magnesium sulfate. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, she goes into labor again. We rush her to the hospital. This time they say, we're admitting you. You are going to remain in this hospital until these babies are born. One nurse said to her, I think trying to be helpful, but it wasn't helpful, said, you know, honey, you better just get used to the idea that you're going to lose these kids. And it was devastating. Two more times she went into labor while she was hospitalized. Her legs atrophied. Her lungs collapsed. She had gestational diabetes. Every day, our high-risk OBGYN, who was an amazing, amazing physician, and we were fortunate to be in one of the world's greatest hospitals at Rainbow Babies and Children and McDonald Women's Hospital at the University Hospitals of Cleveland. Rainbow Babies and Children is probably the best neonatal intensive care unit in the country. So if they were born, they were going to be in the best place. But nevertheless, it was well before the point of viability. And every day, our high-risk OBGYN would be there in our hospital room and advise us of risks and consequences. And even early in the pregnancy, we had identical twins and a fraternal. They advised us about the pros and cons of what they call selective reduction, where you abort one of the fetuses. And we said, okay, so we would be the fraternal one, right? And they said, this is why you would do it, because you would maximize the chances that this pregnancy will survive. My wife is a pretty small woman, and she had never had a child before, so her uterus hadn't expanded. It was a very high-risk pregnancy, and her age. So we said, okay, so we abort the fraternal, right? They said, no, it would probably be the twins, because the twins have the greatest risk of twin-to-twin transfusion, where one can become bigger than the other, and then one dies, then the other dies, and then the whole pregnancy, you know, is jeopardized. We chose life at that moment. We chose life. We heard about all the potential consequences and risks, and we chose to go forward. We would not begrudge a woman in that same position who chose differently. Although we would think it tragic, we would not begrudge that woman for making that choice. All the way through the pregnancy, two more times they went into labor. And you know what? The last time, they even made the little name bracelets. And they stopped giving her the drug to stop the labor because it's a muscle relaxant, and they said it could make it so the kids can't breathe when they're born. And it was before viability, and we thought all hope was lost at that point. They made the name bracelets. They were tiny. And nevertheless, somehow, miraculously, it stopped. We made it to 34 and a half weeks, and they were born healthy. In fact, the OBGYN said, you know what? At 40 weeks is a regular full-term pregnancy, 36 is with triplets. And actually, the OBGYN said, you know what? Let's stop being greedy. These guys are as cooked as they're going to get, and let's get them out. Now, no Ohio state legislator is ever going to walk into the room, the hospital room, in a conversation like that with me and my wife and my position and her position and tell her what to do. They have no business being in that hospital room with us. And that is why I am a strong supporter of reproductive freedom. I understand that the state has an interest at certain points in pregnancies, and that's fine. And the state also has an interest on things like abortion for gender selection and things like that. But the efforts that we've seen, like parental notification and these other things, are simply designed to try to erode away a woman's right to choose. Even parental notification with judicial bypass, which I thought at one point I could support. I've then seen how certain judges behave, and the answer is no. I don't want to put that much power even in one judge's hands. Because I saw how Judge Patricia Cleary in Cleveland behaved when a woman was jailed, and the judge wouldn't let her have an abortion or get out, and she was forced to go to term and deliberately violated her constitutional rights. And then ultimately was sanctioned by the Ohio Supreme Court for it, but it was too late. So I am a strong supporter of reproductive freedom in